Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and today's episode is all about finding clients as a freelancer. But first, a quick word about this episode's wonderful sponsors. Do you want to automate your workflow to save hours of manual data entry? MailParser takes email data and uses parsing filters to help you understand your customers. Get a free trial and 30% off your first year over at mailparser.io/learn-to-code-with-me. Product design is a lucrative and in-demand skill. With online programs, flexible classes, and one-on-one mentoring, Thinkful's product design program can help you land a job as a product designer. To find out more and to get $500 off, go to learn-to-code-with.me/Thinkful. Hey, listeners. In today's episode, I talk with Kyle Prinsloo. Kyle helps web developers and designers earn a side or full-time income through freelancing. I've known Kyle for a while now, and he recently worked with us on our Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox bundle. He's also written a couple of guest posts on the Learn to Code with Me blog all about how to start a career as a freelancer. Today, we'll be talking about how you can find your own freelance niche, how to take the leap and start freelancing full-time, and how to find the best clients for you by marketing yourself online. If you're interested in freelancing and in particular how to market and position yourself as an expert, this is definitely an episode for you. Enjoy. Hey, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so glad to finally have you on the podcast because we've worked together in various ways in the past. I believe you've written a guest blog post for the Learn to Code with Me blog before, and you've, of course, also been part of our Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox bundle. But this is the first time getting you on the show, so really exciting. And yeah, thanks again for coming on.
Cool. No, thank you for having me. And obviously, I'm very much aware of your podcast and your blog, and it's something I very much follow. And I really want to congratulate you. I mean, it's really inspiring. So yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much. And to start things off, I'd love if you could just tell the listeners a bit about yourself and what you do.
Cool. So I think it's pretty obvious. My accent isn't an American accent. So I'm from South Africa, and I actually live in South Africa with my wife. And I've been here, I've born and bred here. And my background is in various different jobs, IT, accounting, various different things, marketing. Eventually, I led to start freelancing to earn a side income. And that led me to share what I know in my blog, studywebdevelopment.com. And now we're just working on very exciting things. That's pretty much the short of my past and what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And from looking, researching your background online, we found that you don't have any formal education. And it looks like you dropped out of high school and you're entirely self-taught. So can you tell us a bit about that and any advice you could share for others who are in a similar situation?
Sure. So some background to that is back then I was about 17 or 18 at the time, and I was in my final year of high school. And so how it works here in South Africa is a bit different to the US. The final year of high school, you finish when you're about 18 or so. Just some background to that. And during that time, my parents were getting a divorce, so things were very, difficult, mentally, emotionally, and definitely financially. So I thought halfway through the year that I want to, sort of alleviate the financial pressures on my mom at the time. And I thought, I want to try some business things, try to earn a side income at the time. And I just took odd jobs, I eventually led to being in jewelry. I'm not a good salesperson, but that's actually the job that that I took, just to, like, you know, help clients sell jewelry and everything. So there's a little bit of a background to that side. I'm very much an advocate for self-learning, teaching yourself, let's say, through online courses or through reading. I'm very much an advocate for that. I don't want to sort of put a bad connotation on, you know, studying, getting a degree, and that, because obviously it works for different people. But for me, I'm very much, I prefer the self-studying route. When it comes to, like, giving advice to people, you know, who are in a similar position, it's actually a bit of a difficult one, to be honest with you, because obviously everyone's situation is different. I mean, obviously it depends on your support structures, your financial, your time, if you have children, how old you are, and all of that. So I do think it must be generally approached, on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, because I guess at the time, and I think of myself when I first started learning to code, and I got a side job really fast. But at the time, I think I was 23. So I was, you know, young. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities. I, you know, had a lot of free time. So it was really easy for me just to dive in and, like, learn these skills and go apply them somewhere. But I know, as you were just saying, it can be really different for everyone, and everyone's situation and, you know, where they are in life can really vary the approach they take. But back to your story. So you were 18 years old and you had a bunch of these odd jobs. You did jewelry sales. When did you start learning how to build websites?
Okay. So my original background, my experience is actually in digital marketing, internet marketing. So I was with a large company for about 3.5 years. And halfway through that, probably around the age of when I was about 20, I got married to my wife. And she's actually Indian. She comes from India. And when she came to stay here, we had a lot of issues with her visa. So she couldn't legally work. So that created a bit of a sort of an issue financially, because, I mean, from an individual salary, I was earning all right. But when you have to basically provide for two people, it got a bit, you know, tough financially. So then halfway through, about a year and a half in that company, I thought, wow, okay, I need to, you know, look at an additional income stream. And it's quite funny, my wife was also trying a few things, you know, trying to sell some jewelry. I mean, we tried a lot of things, and she came across Udemy.com. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with that online coding platform and learning platform, actually. And she actually recommended to me, she said, why don't you actually learn web design or web development? And I thought, I'm like, wow, actually, that's not a bad idea, because when it comes to helping a business get more clients or boost sales, I mean, you generally need just two things. You just need a very good website and you need a very good marketing strategy. So my marketing knowledge was pretty good, but I didn't have the website knowledge. I thought it was like some foreign language, you know, working with developers and everything. So eventually I started learning online on Udemy. I think I started with Rob Percival's course. He's really an excellent teacher. And since then, it's just been combining the two, offering that as a service to clients. And, I mean, it's really been beneficial since then.
Ooh, okay. You have so much good things you shared there. So you started learning as a side income stream because you were working full time at a digital marketing company. When did you end up leaving that digital marketing company, or maybe you moved around a bit and doing the freelance web development, web design, marketing full time?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually got very good news. I was looking at the calendar and I just realized, I'm like, wow, I've actually been full time freelance for 2 years now. So I was like, awesome. But before then, I was actually, so for about from the year and a half to the three and a half years that I was at that company, after about 6 months of learning and applying it, I actually started generating quite a bit of income on the side. And a year later, I was actually earning, I was matching my full-time salary. And then another year after that, I was actually doubling it on the side. So I was doing quite well on the freelancing side. But I really enjoyed my job, so I didn't want to leave. So eventually I took the plunge, well, 2 years ago, 2017 in May, I took the plunge to work for myself full time, and I've been full time ever since.
So I'm sort of like obsessed with asking people the dates and timelines, because I know so many listeners, when they're first starting out, they're like, wait, but how much time did it take him to do that? You know? So how long were you freelancing on the side and working full time, like simultaneously?
Yeah. I mean, good question again. That was probably about a year and a half to 2 years. I could have left earlier, let's say, maybe 9 months after I started freelancing on the side full time. But again, I mean, I don't want the listeners to get like the wrong impression yet, you know, because obviously it works for different people at different times. Some people take, let's say, you know, 2 months or a month, or some people take 2 years. So just for me, I really enjoyed learning at the company. I'm very good friends with the business owners, and I didn't really want to leave. And also on top of that, I actually did have my wife to help me in a lot of tasks. Eventually, she actually also learned web design. So while I was at work, maybe my lunch break, we would chat to like figure out what we're going to do, like what's happening with this project. And we would just keep in touch then. And at night, I would literally work, very, very late. Like it was really a stressful time. I mean, even sometimes on Fridays when I got home from work, I actually didn't even sleep. So there was a lot of sacrifice made on a lot of weekends and sacrificing a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely worthwhile during that hard time.
Yeah, no, thank you for being so honest and like upfront about that. I think, you know, I think there's so many people. This is how I was when I first started learning to code. I was like, oh, I'm just going to like learn for like a year, and then I'm going to get a job as a full-time web developer, and then I'm going to be making six figures. And then, you know, like I had this like really like kind of like tunnel vision of how everything was going to look, and it didn't end up becoming, things of course changed. But I really like that you talked about that, because it shows, you know, like how much time some of these things do take. And it's really not that much time. Like maybe when you're first starting out, 2 years sounds like a lot. And I know you mentioned you really liked your job, you could have left sooner, but I think it's just part of that journey and that story. And I can totally relate when you talk about working really late at night, making a lot of sacrifices, because as a lot of the listeners know, I, you know, also actually for 2 years, which I think I was actually told before, I'm kind of veering off here, sorry, but accountant told me that a lot of people who are in a situation where they're doing a side business and working full time, he said that he noticed a lot will end up having to kind of pick one after 2 years, because that seems to be the threshold of how long people can make those kind of sacrifices for without a clear end in sight.
Wow.
Yeah. So because I remember personally, after like a year and a half, and then I ended up, you know, taking a good amount of time to plan my leave or you know, leaving the full-time job, I was just so burned out. It was just like, at first it was fun and exciting, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot go on like this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that something that impacted your decision, like to leave your full-time job as well, so you could like just do one thing and have a better work-life balance?
I mean, exactly. You literally just touched on it perfectly. So, from my side, I was eventually marketing manager. So I was like in charge of a department there, and the company was growing quite quickly. I mean, when I started, I think it had about, say, 70 to 80 people. And when I left, it had about almost double within a period of three odd years. So I think a lot of times when the structure of a company grows, sometimes they have to become, I wouldn't say they have to, but in this case, the company became a bit more strict, you know, like monitoring certain things. And I didn't like that, especially seeing as I was like, I mean, if we look at the facts, I was basically earning double income-wise on the side, where I would work lesser hours. Obviously, it was a hectic juggle and everything. But eventually, at some point, you have to make the decision. Like, okay, when you ask to work overtime, is it worth, you know, the extra hours, or can you, you know, I mean, work on your side business and maximize that side? And then again, I mean, you have to think long term, 5, 10 years. I mean, hopefully, like with children and family, and like settling down, traveling, whatever. I mean, juggling life. You know, I mean, you want some certain freedoms, and most of the time, in most companies, they don't have. Let's just call it like the Google benefits. You know, like Google has a lot of benefits. But I mean, if we look at most companies, they don't really offer those types of nice freedom and all these perks to it. So I do think that's, I mean, ultimately one of the biggest benefits. If you can get freelancing right and be successful at it, then obviously then you can, you know, reap the rewards. And I definitely think that's something to consider for everyone.
Awesome. Well, switching gears a little bit, I'd love to talk about your website, studywebdevelopment.com. And how you started that, when you did, and why?
Cool. So how I started it was 2015, end of December, actually, launched Study Web Development. And the whole aim, or let me first say this, I was actually looking at some pictures the other day of some of the designs of like what it was and what it looks now. And wow, I must say I'm quite embarrassed. I'm quite ashamed of like how it started and everything. But I'm glad I actually did start. So anyway, I started with the whole mindset of literally just trying to be an advocate to explain to people, like, just by having web development knowledge and combining it with some internet marketing knowledge, I mean, it can open up so many doors for you, let's say for freelancing or for any of your own product ideas. So it was just literally almost like a sort of a blog documenting some of my journeys or some tips that I had in articles. I have changed quite a bit of it now to focus very much on freelancing and branding and those types of things. But before, it was very heavily focused on, let's say, courses to start out. And then like the next step could be a free ebook that I created just to help put everything in perspective of like next steps and next goals to take. And then obviously the next step was my freelancing bundle, actually, which is just a bit more focused on like in-depth freelancing. So now moving forward, we actually I've got a partner in the business now, a good friend of mine, and he joined in January, and he's just a part of Study Web Development. We're doing a lot of other things as well, but if we're talking Study Web Development side, we're doing actually also doing a podcast, and I must say that that you've actually been a very good inspiration for that. And I remember you wrote an article for me on my blog recently, I think the 29th of April, and you mentioned something in there relating to podcasts, and you just literally pretty much said, like, just do it, you know. And I was just chatting to him, and I'm like, no, I mean, let's just do it. So anyway, that's what we're working on now. It's going to work on adding some more YouTube videos, adding some more blogs, just essentially adding more value, you know, to ultimately try and help more people. And if I can say quickly, I know I'm rambling on a bit here, but just to add, I mean, I'm incredibly grateful at the feedback that I received from a lot of people on like how, I mean, literally how their lives have changed with web development, with freelancing and so on. And I remember telling my wife at the beginning, I said, you know what, like there's so many ways to make an income. And I think a lot of people's, let's say, sort of meaning behind it or their why behind it is, I mean, let's just say selfish, you know, I mean, they just want to, you know, do well themselves and so on. But I really said to my wife, I'm like, I mean, what can we do that will sort of add value to people and in turn, you know, be rewarding at the same time? And I must say, I'm very grateful for how everything has evolved over these past, two and a half years with Study Web Development.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Small businesses spend a lot of time managing logistics and trying to understand their customers. MailParser is a leading email processing tool that makes these things a lot simpler. First, you'll forward emails to MailParser manually or with custom email filters. Then, MailParser uses custom parsing rules to automatically extract the important information you need from the email body or attachments. You can view the extracted data on your mail parser dashboard or use webhooks to automatically send the data to your other business applications. Mail Parser offers a suite of parsing filters that are highly flexible and that can render custom output from almost all structured data. Whether you are capturing leads, analyzing order information, or figuring out what new features your customers want, you can do it efficiently with Mail Parser. Get a free 14-day trial to see if you like it. Then 30% off the first year of service at mailparser.io/learn-to-code-with-me. Thinkful is a coding program that's designed to get you your dream job in tech. With online programs, flexible classes, and 6 months of support from a career coach, it's the perfect place to start your new career. In 2019, LinkedIn named product design one of the most promising jobs in the United States. With a median base salary of just over $121,000, this is a lucrative and in-demand career. Thinkful's product design program is built to get you a job as a product designer or your tuition back. With one-on-one mentorship and a support team behind you, you'll work on impressive projects to build your portfolio and prove your design abilities to future employers. What's more, this course fits around your schedule, so you can get ready for your new job without having to quit your current one. 90% of course graduates are hired as full-time designers, but thanks to Thinkful's tuition reimbursement guarantee, if you don't get a job within 6 months of graduating, you'll get your money back. To find out more and get $500 off, go to learntocodewith.me/thinkful. That's amazing. And I loved what you said there at the end. I have a lot of little quotes or mantras or whatever you want to call them that I will read throughout the day to just help me like mentally with like productivity. But one of the things that, I hope I'm going to say it right, is when you focus on, this is kind of dramatic, but I think it gets the point across. It's when you focus on healing other people's pain, that's where you find your passion or something about that. It's basically about like when you try to help other people, that's like where you can get your most like fulfillment from. So that's, I mean, same as you, like I'm constantly thinking about how can I be generous and serve others and impact lives, whether that's a lot of lives, like through a podcast show that is out reaching lots of people, or just a one-off email to someone, you know, someone who writes to me or something. I love that. And about freelancing. So obviously freelancing has really shaped your own life and your own career so far. God, there's so many questions I could ask, I think, about freelancing and your experience with it. But I would love just to know right now, are you still freelancing? Like, are you still building websites for clients and whatnot?
Yes. So just to be like transparent here, my partner, I mean, we're working on web agencies. So what that means is we essentially focus on a niche. Or niche in America, we focus on a niche and we just try and service clients within that niche by offering web design and marketing services. So a bit of background on that: so it's me and it's my partner and it's my wife that are, I mean, basically full time doing client work, working on stable development and other income streams, and then we obviously have some contractors to outsource certain tasks. I do think it's important that I am involved in freelancing, working with clients and trying to grow, because essentially I'm basically talking about it, you know. So I find it a bit like disingenuous making certain suggestions if I myself am, you know, not trying to apply it. I think there's a lot of people in, you know, certain spaces, particularly internet marketing. I know it's a little bit different, but let's just focus on that. Who basically make money online by teaching other people how to make money online, but they themselves haven't done it, which I find like, I mean, that really grounds me, you know. Yes, to answer it, I'm very much involved in freelancing. We've actually got quite a few clients, and we, I mean, I have taken a little bit of time off last year to really try and focus on study web development, to try and cut out a lot of client work here and there. But now we're very much trying to actually scale that up, and we're working on like a very big, you know, plan and breaking that up into very actionable steps.
Awesome. You mentioned, like, I don't know, a little bit ago about the niche services. Can you talk about what you mean when you say that?
Sure. So I think, okay, first of all, I'm going to explain when it's relating to freelancing. So I think there's two types of people in my world. So you get what's called a generalist. And what a generalist may be is someone who, it's a freelancer who offers, let's just say, web design services or internet marketing services or both or whatever it is. But whatever service it is, you pretty much take on any client at any time just to literally get, you know, get by each month or fill up your calendar. So that's number one. Number two, we're talking about the niche. So what it is you're focused on providing services to a particular client within a specified niche. So let's use an example. I actually always reference three examples here. So PaperStreet.com, they specialize in helping law firms. And again, I'm talking about focusing on websites and internet marketing. Then you get Smile Marketing, and they focus on dentists. Then you get Chiro Matrix, which focuses on chiropractors. Then you can also get Restaurant Engine. They focus on restaurants. One similarity between the two, because you might be asking, okay, cool, but like, you know, what's the benefits and pros and cons behind the two? And look, from my side, let me just say that I prefer the niche angle, but you obviously do get a lot of good, successful generalists. So I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just prefer the niche aspect of it, because I do believe it sets you apart from, you know, branding yourself, being considered an authority in the perception, positioning. I mean, it ultimately affects your pricing and what you can offer. And so if I can just quickly wrap up on the niche side, the difference between those websites and the average generalist is the niche side, they've got so many clients coming to them. They've literally got a waiting list. And in some of these cases, some of them have an employee list of like over 100 people. So, I mean, the company is doing incredibly well. And, I mean, that's something I'm an advocate on, highly, highly advocate. I mean, I recommend it to everyone. And it's something I myself do. And, I mean, we're involved in two niches. One of them is actually in the medical niche, and one of them is in therapy niche, but it's super focused niche. So definitely I highly recommend it.
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. It makes sense because you would just understand that industry so much more and like what the important things are on the website. And then from a marketing perspective, like what has worked with other clients in the past in a similar space and all that. So I'm curious, like, how do you become that expert, you know, for the medical and the therapy websites for companies? And how are you getting these clients? Like, how are they finding out about you?
Cool. So I think if we have to break it up in two, number one is like, how do you become an expert in that niche? And the very simple answer is you literally have to learn. So, I mean, let's just say, for example, I wanted to focus on the veterinarian niche, so like the people who have vets businesses, you know. So let's say I want to do that. I actually don't know anything about it, to be honest. I would literally research like the language they use. Do they call their clients customers? Do they call them patients? Do they call them something else? And then use that language to like obviously in the marketing side of things. But the story is like, to sum it up on that side, I mean, it's literally just learning everything you can about what they do about, or let me say this. If you're focusing on a florist or a nutritionist, they would be very different in, let's say, a lawyer in how you communicate with them, which therefore means everything from your website and your marketing channels need to be aligned to speak their language and their goals and desires for their business or their practice or whatever. So I hope that answers that side. Moving on to like, how do you, or what was the second part of it? Like, how do you grow it? How do you, like, how do you get started?
Yeah. Get new clients and all that.
Cool. So I think, obviously you need to identify the skill set that you currently have. So let's say you, and obviously also your what you enjoy ultimately, but I'm going to mainly focus on web design, and I'm going to focus on internet marketing. So focus on what you can offer. Now, obviously, you want to improve it, but we'll get to that at a later stage. I mean, that's just something you need to do on the side if you want to improve your web design knowledge, if you want to improve certain marketing channels and so on. Then what you need to do is people think, awesome, I've got the knowledge, now I need clients. But I actually don't like that way of thinking, because you actually don't want a client. You actually want the right client. And I know that sounds cheesy and everything, but it's true. I mean, you want to work with the clients that ultimately you enjoy working with and that you can add value to. So, I mean, you have to figure out how to your niche, and we can perhaps discuss that as well if you want to. But let's say you've decided on your niche. Let's say dentists, for example. I mean, I brought that up earlier. So let's say the dentists. What you need to do is break it up in stages. You need a very effective website, and the headline can be something simple, maybe something like "Grow Your Dentistry Practice," and literally everything will be focused on that. You know, speaking the dentist's language, like, do you need more patients to your practice? Things like that. So you're not saying clients or customers, and you need to actually step out of your comfort zone, because what do you want them to do? You want them to schedule a free consultation with you by phone or via Skype, where you can literally do an analysis on their website and on their online marketing presence, and you can give suggestions. Therefore, that adds value to what you can do, and they see the value and will want to take the next step of, you know, essentially working with you. You can provide them with a proposal template, and hopefully they sign on. But now, I'm going on and on here, but for a marketing channel for dentists, the question then is, okay, you've got your goal in mind, you've got your website, you've got your goal in mind for them to schedule a free consultation or get a free quote or contact you for more information, whatever it is. There has to be some desired goal or action that you would like them to take. That's the website. Now we move on to, how do you reach out to dentists? So it might be, first of all, you have to literally try everything. So it could be LinkedIn ads, it could be Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Twitter ads, it could be AdWords, it could be trying to reach out in conventions or conference centers, advertising there, in magazines, like literally like publications that are distributed amongst dentists themselves, or it could also be like direct mail, that can also work, then you get email outreach. So there's so many different ways of like growing and trying to reach out to clients. But if I can just wrap it up and quickly say, obviously the ideal situation is if they come to you, because then you are in a very, very good negotiation space. And it's most of the time that they actually don't say no, because they already know they want to work with you, because they can see, wow, this person specializes in what we need help with. I don't care how much they charge. I mean, yeah, we're going to see, do the numbers and whatever, but I really want to work with this person.
Yeah, awesome. That makes a ton of sense. And thank you for that like detailed example. So I feel like some folks listening, if they're just starting out, they're like, whoa, that's great. But like, you know, I'm just getting started. How do I even know what industry or what area I should niche down in? What thoughts do you have on like picking one?
Sure. So I do think if I have to split this in two, like just as a general getting started, very basic beginners sort of guideline, I would say, I mean, first of all, just check in with your family. Just let them know that you are at least a web designer and you want to do their website. Just sort of get a general feel for your experience on building a website ultimately. Tell your friends. Maybe you could perhaps go to business, local business meetups in your area, because ultimately, I mean, they're going to hire you, not like developer meetups or anything like that, and build from there. So I do think that's one very neglected avenue. But if we move on, I mean, that's just obviously very, very basic. Let me moving on to the niche side. So when it comes to choosing a niche, I think a lot of people focus so much time on trying to decide on a niche that they actually don't get started. And ultimately, I mean, I do think you just literally need to get started. But I mean, there are some ways where I can give some advice. So number one is something that you're passionate about. I mean, let's say, for example, you're interested in health. I mean, my wife is crazy about health, actually. Something that will really interest her is nutritionists, creating websites for nutritionists. So that's number one. Number two, it could be maybe something where you see an opportunity. So let's say, for example, you go for Pilates classes, or you meet someone at a coffee shop, and you just hear their struggles, like in whatever industry they're in, and you think, wow, okay, if this person's struggling, surely there are many others around the world that are struggling. So that's from an opportunistic side of things. Then you get another one, which is like out of pure potential, income potential. So I mean, it could even be linked to like to greed in an extent, but let's just call it that. Where you might think, okay, if I have to work with, let's say, a florist or some small little coffee shop or something, obviously they've got a very small marketing budget. But what happens if I actually had to work with neurosurgeons or like cardiologists or like lawyers or something like that? I mean, they've got a way bigger marketing budget because they earn more. So then, I know it's a lot of things to take in, but some of them could actually be a combination of all three. But then I think a very important one to think about is your time, the feasibility from a financial perspective. So how do you actually work out, how sort of lucrative a niche is? And generally speaking, a business should spend roughly 10% of their annual turnover on marketing. So what you can do is you can look at payscale.com. They literally have almost every single job title you can think of, like cardiologists, dentists, nutritionists, florists, whatever. And you can see how much their salary is across the board on an average basis per annum. And then you literally take that, even though it's not a full example of their annual turnover for the business specifically, but a good one is to work on their salary. You take their annual salary, let's say it's $100,000. You divide that by 10. So that's roughly $10,000 in a year on what they can or should be spending on marketing. So then therefore you can justify it and think, okay, wow, if I had to create a very good website for them to get more clients or more patients for, let's say, $5,000, would they be happy to spend, let's say, roughly $500 a month for a marketing retainer? And that would at least justify your time to see, okay, this is a good niche, this is worth my time, I enjoy it, I can add value. And just sort of looking at everything in context. So I know I sort of babbled on there, but I hope it answers it in detail.
No, that was so informative. And I really liked the last bit of advice. I've never heard that suggestion before with the salary, looking at the salaries, but it makes so much sense. Unfortunately, though, we're like almost out of time. I feel like I have so many other questions I didn't get to ask you, unfortunately, but I guess that gives people a good reason to go to your website and learn more about you. I just wanted to ask, though, one last question. Do you have any final words of wisdom for listeners who are hoping to break into freelancing?
Yes, I do. I find it's actually quite a simple mental barrier, like a mental block that people have. And it's very often they make excuses. I don't have time is a very big one. Maybe they have kids, maybe they, work is just too demanding. Or maybe they just don't have the discipline, or maybe they don't have the finances, whatever it is. To that, I will say, look, if we're talking like truthful here, whatever your financial situation is, there'll always be someone who's worse off than you who is making a success. There'll always be someone who doesn't have as much time as you, even though you don't think you have a lot of time, but who will make the effort, who will literally sleep less or wake up earlier or make certain sacrifices, and they would learn. So it's almost like asking, like, what makes a difference between, you know, a successful person or a successful athlete and a non-successful athlete? And it's one of those things where I think it's very much character-driven. You know, I mean, obviously we all know, like, you know, the general things, like, I mean, don't be selfish, don't be rude, don't be weird, basically. I mean, just help others, just have discipline, just have the ability to want to learn, just like put in the time and the effort to set a schedule, have a goal in mind and work towards it, have an accountability partner. And ultimately, I mean, just sort of summarizing it, literally just get started and then work on adapting and improving along the way. Don't delay, don't sort of make excuses, yeah, but, literally just do it and then try and improve and adapt.
And what a great way to end the show. Thank you so much, Kyle, again, for coming on. Where can people find you online?
Well, thank you. I mean, I very much appreciate it. Thanks again, Laurence. And they can literally just go to my website, studywebdevelopment.com. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different links there if they want to read the blog or anything else. Yeah, so thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kyle. If you missed any of that or would like a recap, the show notes for this episode can be found over at the Learn to Code with Me website. Just go to learntocodewith.me/podcast. And if you're listening to this episode in the future, you can just click the search icon in the upper navigation of the website and type in Kyle's name. All of the links and the resources that we mentioned in this interview are going to be on the show notes page. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.